Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, it's 3 o'clock.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big Three at three. Number one.
All right, let's make it happen right here. Yiner Diaz is up. They got runners on first and second with two outs. Can he come through? He popped up to second base.
No.
Got fooled at the plate, by the way. Got fooled at the plate.
Damn it.
Just
I thought this was one to break it out.
To second base.
All right, 1-0. Alex Bregman got a soft hit, and then another. I think they call it that an error. It was a grounder. The first baseman dove before letting it go foul, and had that opportunity with Yiner Diaz there, and he was unable to capitalize. But they do lead 1-0, and today's game thus far has been about Verlander and Montero pitching out of jams. There's been traffic throughout. Verlander, including the first inning, had the bases loaded with nobody out, struck out two, and then got a fly out. He had a couple of other innings where he had multiple runners on, and then Montero came and relieved him in the fifth with runners on first and second with one out, got a strikeout and another fly out to center field, but they haven't been able to capitalize themselves. So it is 1-0. The bullpen is going to have to finish this one off, Clint. They are now 11 games under 500 after last night's loss. Whew, they got to get this thing. They got to get this thing. They if they can get a win today, they get an off day, and then they play in Mexico City against the Rockies. And there's some good news there. Blanco starts Saturday. We'll tell you the rest of that here in just a second, but this feels very important to come
Stop
away
being a dumpster fire.
And at least avoid this sweep in the run of this losing streak to five straight. Clint.
Yeah, I mean, at some point in time, it'd be nice to turn the corner here. 7-18. I'm wondering. I hadn't asked lately, but the it's early bunch. We still early.
That better. I swear to God, I'm serious.
If there's any of you out there, shut the hell up.
I'm gonna throw cold. I don't want to hurt people, so it ain't gonna be hot. I'm going to throw cold coffee at people.
Yeah, I didn't know. I mean, I didn't know if it's too early.
Cold all my baseball, iced coffee at people.
All my tried and true baseball folks out there, it's too early. Is it too early? Are we beyond now talking about, hey, man, it's still early. Remember back in 82 when the Astros did this or that?
I remember, man.
Yeah, it's they need to turn the corner here. They
better stop. I swear to God. I won't even accept text. I might block you. That's aggressive. All right, I won't block, but I mean,
when it's
stop
a long
it.
Season,
you're
Joe.
Not the blocking kind, man. You wouldn't do that.
Well, only for racism.
Yeah. No.
Those are the only blocks I've ever done.
Okay, fair. Okay, fair.
Outside of that, I'll let you ride through. But, no, man, there can't be any too early crowds. They just can't. They can't at all. I mean, it's the 15, like, Clint, you gave a stat yesterday. Brandon gave us the stat of since this the league has expanded to 30 teams, there has not been a team start 7-17 and make the playoffs.
There you have it. And we're sitting at 7-18, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's just crazy.
Like before the game yesterday.
I was going back and forth yesterday on Twitter with an old boy from Baytown.
Somebody's.
No. It was just like, it was, he just, I can't remember what the comment was, but it was something along the lines of, don't worry about it. Everything will be all right. It's, no, it's not going to be all right. You got a center fielder that didn't realize there was two outs or one out in the game. You got Pena trying to stretch a single into a double and getting thrown out by 10 yards. You've got Altuve, suspect defense, and getting terrible at bats with runners in scoring position. And you're talking about, you're out here talking about, oh, hey, man, Clint, he's up, man. No, man.
We had a catcher's interference the night before.
Come on, man.
The second one of the road trip.
We can talk about Abreu not scooping things at first base and all that. That's fine. Hey, Pena got to pick it up, man. But Pena damn near missed Singleton's big ass on first base yesterday. Did you see that? On a routine, I mean, it was literally he is shifted behind the base. The ball's hit directly at him. He steps on second and damn near misses Singleton at first. He one hops it up the line.
Singleton had to.
I mean, my heart stopped. I thought, here we go. But
gold,
I mean,
Gold Glover.
Now the first baseman, I get it. He gets paid to do those kind of things. But Pena's acting like he's chasing some bonus or something. Man, make a decent throw every now and then. Yeah. Kidding me? Talking about, oh, it's all right. No, it's not all right. But, I mean, it's Bush League baseball at its finest.
But everything you listed is what we said last week, I think, when I said, well, if it smells like a duck,
yes,
it walks like a duck, hell, it might be. The Astros, and I'll keep saying it, they do, as Clint just ran through them again in one night, they do a lot of things that bad baseball teams do. And they do them nightly, consistently. They do them nightly. Like, I almost threw out my back when I saw Yiner Diaz have another catcher's interference of the road trip. That's just an excuse. Now, you just get, like, Tay-Tay walks a guy, all right, man, we're rolling, and then, bam, catcher's interference, first and second. It leads to them scoring a run without having to get a hit.
We already got Javier dealing with a bad back, dude. I don't need you throwing yours out, too.
Yeah, but I'd come to work.
That's right.
I wouldn't be
You'd
on the
rub
IL.
Some dirt on it.
Over this time next week, I will not be at work. But outside of that, that is not.
Where are you going?
NYC.
NYC, baby.
Oh, is that already? It's already time for that?
So NYC, jealous, baby. Man. I love that city.
Yeah, baby. I turn 40 next week now.
Except for the Yankee idiots.
Good times. Good times. Yeah. But no, man, they got to get this one. Clint, listen, they're up 1-0. There is good news with that. They're up 1-0 right now. And other good news. Framber Valdez, Clint Tyler will come off the injured list, and he is going to start Sunday against the Rockies in Mexico City.
Okay.
Joseph Espada said via Dana Brown he is going to start tomorrow or start Sunday. He threw 40 pitches in a bullpen session yesterday in Wrigley Field, so we'll see what his pitch count is coming up on Sunday for that game. But he is going to start. So they do get their second ace, so to speak. Verlander's back. They get Framber back in the rotation coming up on Sunday. So that is a welcome sight. Now, hell, it won't matter if they just keep losing before they can get them in. But hopefully a crick in the neck is just 15 days on the DL and he comes back after 15 days. And now you could potentially have the rotation you were hoping to have.
Yes. Praying for it. Need it sooner rather than later.
By the way, real quick, an update. I told you at the beginning of this game has been about getting out of trouble. Well, Rafael Montero has just gotten himself right back in trouble. Runners on first and third in the bottom of the sixth with no outs.
No! God!
They have been able to Harlem shake themselves out of this trouble all game long. Thank you for Harlem shaking it. There you go. That's nice. I see that if you're on YouTube and Twitch, you saw Tyler hit that Harlem shake one time.
Let me see it one time. What you got? Hey,
there it is.
Okay.
There it is. But we'll keep you updated on that. But
that's what I'm going to do after I sink putts on your ass.
You're never going to sink
good one
because you guys are never going to play.
Oh, we are.
Big 3-3, number 2.
Your hip's going to have issues. Tyler's shoulder's going to be hurt.
My hip's
that'll
good.
Be before.
Hey, I've been back at it for about, I don't know, about 2 months now. My hip's good, baby. That thing's, shoot, ass low.
The NFL draft is tonight, and round one starts tonight. As of now, the Texans are not in the first round. They could get back into that. We'll get to that in a second. But, fellas, Texans fans out there, I hope you're getting used to this. Because this is what the draft is going to start to feel like moving forward. because the draft, although important, when you are either out of the first round or picking extremely late in the first round, like you hope the Texans are going to be doing moving forward, the draft doesn't quite have the same feel that it's had the last couple of years. And that's a good thing.
Yes.
That's a good thing. You're looking to just kind of maybe add some maybe pieces. I think more you're more accustomed here in Houston of trying to add, we got this person to help us immediately right now to really make our team. This is what the draft is going to feel like moving forward for the Texans, because the expectation is that they're going to be a good team, that the draft is not as much of a primary focus as it is for other teams.
Well, look, I think Nick said it, I don't know, a week or so ago, that the goal ultimately was to get to a point where you feel like if there was a game tomorrow with your current team as is right now, you could go out and play a game and put a quality product on the field and not need the draft to play a game. It's been a while since, as Texans fans, we can relate to not needing the drafts to play a game. And I think the Texans are there right now. You don't need the draft to find a plug-and-play difference maker that's going to allow you to win ball games this year. Although it'd be nice, you're not depending on it.
Yeah, no, that's big, and I think that's going to be the Texans moving forward, that they won't have to depend and will just be adding things. You could potentially see them moving out more often, and not being involved in it. With that being said, Clint, your thought with them potentially moving back into the first round. How much of a possibility do you think that is? Like, how realistic? Obviously, anything's possible.
Yeah.
Well, but how realistic do you think it is for the Texans?
Look, I think if you look at the way this draft, at least from a mock draft perspective, appears to be probably going to go with a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of tackles, a lot of wide receivers.
Yep. Maybe some corners.
I heard the other day, don't know how true this is, I heard the other day that there's only six defensive players that have true first-round grades. I don't know if the Texans feel that way or not, but that's a low number. Even if it's off by half, hell, it's still a low number, right? But I think the only way the Texans move in back into the first round, which, by the way, I wouldn't be opposed if they did, but the only way that they do is if one of the players at a position of need, which I believe is D-tackle, corner, linebacker, really, hell, anywhere on safety, anywhere at the safety position. I mean, the on the defense at any level, any spot. If we're being honest, if any of those guys fall, but there's a lot of corners, there's a lot of D tackles, right, that could potentially fall into the late first round. If that does happen, I do believe that Nick and D'Amico have positioned themselves draft capital wise to be able to move if they do indeed need to and want to. But I think it's going to take one of those corners or one of those defensive tackles that they are absolutely in love with to fall into the late first round, and Nick and D'Amico say, all right, let's go get them. Now, if that happens, Ron, as it pertains to the draft conversation, I do believe at that point in time you got a plug-and-play starter that's a difference maker. If one of the top corners falls in this draft and you got a chance to go get him, if a top defensive tackle falls in this draft and Nick and D'Amico feel the need to jump and go get him, I do believe at that point in time you're jumping to go get a guy that is a plug-and-play starter and a difference maker.
That's interesting. You said a player at a position of need to move up. Would you be – you'd be opposed to them moving up to getting somebody that isn't in one of those positions? Like the name we've heard and they were talking about in the loop is Brock Bowers. If he were to fall – that's not necessarily a position of need.
No, but that's a big time opportunity. I mean, as it pertains,
even though you just signed.
I mean, you're talking about a generational player. I mean, to me, that is a. I mean, you're making that move because that type of tight end just doesn't come around very often. I mean, this is not he's not just a generational tight end. He fits the 2024 NFL mold of being able to do multiple things, and so that's you have to get real horny to jump way up there and get that guy. I don't see that guy sliding far enough for them to get, but
yeah,
if he were, I wouldn't be opposed to that. Now, no, look, there's certain guys, Ron, there's certain dudes that if they fall, you just got to go get them no matter who they are. So I don't see that being one of these, though. I think it's going to be a late – somebody slides late first and ends up being a position of need.
Big 3-3, number 3.
Quick update here. Finally,
son of a bitch!
The Astros have been playing. It's all right. Let it
no,
out.
No, I'm going to – I'm gonna. I'm not gonna be okay, dude.
I know you.
I can't take much more of this.
The Astros.
You're gonna bet their way out of this slump, ain't you?
I'll give an update real quick. The Astros, who have been flirting with danger, been in trouble. They go to the bullpen to get Abreu after the game gets tied on. I guess it wasn't a sack fly. It was a hit because Tucker was able to come up with it, but he did get the out at second. It was tied 1-1. They bring Abreu in with a runner on first. The runner moves to second, Clint, because Abreu's first pitch, he throws. Hell, if that were Shaq at the plate standing up, he wouldn't have been able to catch that. He threw it over his head to the backstop and hit.
Good God.
And then somebody just drove the ball.
Looks like Eminem.
I mean, yeah, this fella who doesn't look like
Crow Armstrong.
Crow Armstrong, who doesn't look like he's big enough to hit the ball where he hit it.
That is an interesting fella.
He hit that ball, and if you're looking for a description, this is hardcore blonde here, folks. I mean, this is
dyed blonde.
This is Sting, WCW Sting, hardcore dyed blonde hair, right there. And he hit that thing to the last row. Did you see where this ball landed,
Ron? That's got to be the first home run of his career.
It doesn't look like it. Where it landed. Did you see where it landed?
No, I did not.
I hope they show the replay.
I know it was a no-doubter.
He almost hit it. He almost cleared the seats in the outfield. He absolutely crushed this thing.
Crow-Armstrong.
That was his first major league hit. Not just Homer.
Oh, God.
That's where we're at, boys.
I'm going to lose my effing mind.
And by the way, I'm going to lose it.
I know you are. I'm
not positive, but I think it's double-digit wind blowing in from the outfield, too. I mean, I think Crow Armstrong, I think his little narrow ass, little blonde ass just went into the wind.
How far this ball went. Damn, man. Brian, I mean, someone texted in earlier, and I don't know if they were doing this joking, but they said that this thing is locked because we got the three-headed monster of a Abreu, Presley, and Hader. 3-1. The Cubs are leading, and the Astros are going to have to come back if they get a W today. All right, coming up.
What an issue.
Crow Armstrong.
This is getting rough.
All right, how about that life? Laying on the turf at Wrigley.
Just getting hammered. All right, coming up, the draft coming up tonight. Right now the Texans aren't in it, but that does not mean that there isn't major things to pay attention to. I want you to think this through. Think about the division, because they are all in the first round. What's a scenario in which you certainly don't want a team getting this player? What's a scenario for any of these AFC South teams? I got one in my mind. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
That ball hit deep to right field, through the wind, and gone. Pete Crow Armstrong's first major league hit is a two-run home run to give the Cubs a 3-1 lead, and he hit it through a wind coming in from right.
Somebody give Todd Callis a hand. Somebody needs to give Todd Callis a hand. I don't know how he sat there without just losing his mind.
Yeah, I don't know how these guys aren't losing. I think Blum's got a chance to lose it.
Oh yeah,
at least from a tone perspective.
The look in his eyes. Yesterday he had that hat on. He looked miserable. It was 40 degrees at first pitch. Real feel of 35. Yeah. He had that damn skull cap on. He was smoking hot. Doing another one of those post games. Where they lost the game.
It's just impossible. When you're watching bad baseball, bad football, whatever, it's just impossible to not just be disgusted. By the way, my boy Mike Ruiz, let me know that old Pete Crow Armstrong, top prospect in the Cubs organization, he was brought up Cody Bellinger messed his ribs up, bro. It looked like Bellinger broke a couple ribs or something.
And this is where I can see, like, this is the part where I think it's probably sent Tyler over the edge. And this is why I'm surprised Todd and Jeff, good for them, what pros, is the Astros, fellas, they can't buy a hit with a runner in scoring position. And I'm talking Altuve, you gave off the, what, 1-for-15? With runners in scoring positions. He's not doing it. I mean, Mauricio Dubon is the only one that has any level of consistency of doing it. I mean, up and down the thing. And this cat walked up for the first time, his first hit in the major leagues, and he hits it almost out of the stands.
This is just about as disastrous as the season could have started for the Houston Astros.
And as a side note here, again, the story of today's game has been in and out of trouble. Well, Brian Abreu has just kicked off the seventh, getting into trouble again. I know this may sound like a recording, but it's not. A
lot of traffic.
They kick off the inning first and second as the Cubs are looking to try to add on to this lead. What is going on?
Well, that'd be about what's right here with the Astros is you carry a 1-0 lead into the sixth. You end up giving up three. You get down 3-1. And then in the seventh, you go ahead and just let them put it out of reach. that would be about par for the course.
That would be it, right? Just to, for them to go ahead and just go ahead and hopefully Abreu can hold this thing together. Hopefully he can
hold
this
thing together, damn it, and you get your bats back up here, get a couple runs, and maybe you can steal one late here.
Yeah, that's it.
I used to feel really, really good about the Astros, like legitimately hold it right unhealthy. Here. Like I felt good, like as long as Alvarez was coming around in the batting order again,
two runs.
I felt no run was safe. I feel like Jake Myers. I feel somewhat defeated. We got two innings to play.
Close to the top of the lineup, if they can just hold it here. Two runs is nothing. Two runs is nothing, right? Here it is. We'll keep you updated on that. All right, the Texans, as of now, aren't in that first round. But, Clint, the rest of the division is. And the rest of the division is in pretty good spots to grab picks. And I'm going to tell you this right now, Clint. The scenario in my head, and I look at that, I would have concern that if you tell me the number one thing if I'm a Texans fan that I do not want to see happen,
okay,
is that this run of positions where it could be quarterback, where there could be four going that top 10. I think there's going to be a run on tackles that go. I think there's going to be a run on the receivers that go. And that run rolls out, and Brock Bowers drops enough for the Indianapolis Colts to potentially either go up to get him or even drops to a point where they don't even have to move at 15 to go get him. That, to me, is something that would be a real concern to me if they added a Brock Bowers to that offense. Like, and you have told me this. I've worked with you closely for almost 4 years. That the number one thing, and you have not changed from 98 to now, that can help especially a young quarterback is a really good tight end. And if you say, all right, man, we're gonna have Jonathan Taylor to help you in the run game. You got your own legs in the run game, Anthony Richardson. You got a good, dependable receiver in Pittman. We'll see what else they do. And then I'm going to give you Brock Bowers. A tight end right there that you can grow with. That's the scenario to me if I'm a Texans fan that I don't want. I hope Brock goes early. I hope, because if I'm the Colts and I sit there and Brock is around 10 and I'm at 15, like that is a piece right there, Jack, that could really, really help change their offense. That's one I don't want to see.
You got Tennessee sitting up there with it's going to be a new look Tennessee squad at 7. I mean, they're it's just flat out they're going to get a player.
Yeah, you know I mean they're looking O-line too.
They're going to get a player one way or the other. But the Colts at 15, as you mentioned, and the Jaguars at 17. Ron, either one of those teams now, you still want to talk about players falling out of that top 10. Either one of those teams right there could be sitting pretty. I mean, they're sitting pretty to catch.
Oh yeah, they all are. Somebody. Yeah.
But you're right. You're right. You add a Brock Bowers
for Richardson. All of the things you think to help a young quarterback, a great running back. You yourself had the eject button to get out of trouble and in the middle of the field. That's what he was killing the Texans with before he got hurt.
Yeah, well, and he's a hybrid type tight end too that can do so many different things, man. You put him in that offense with Shane Steichen calling it. It's
what Dallas Goedert did.
Yeah. Indy could be a major problem. They're going to be a problem anyway, I'll be honest with you. They're going to be a problem anyway with Anthony as long as he's healthy. But you know, you give him a guy like Brock Bowers with that collection of weapons, he could be. Let's be honest, wherever Brock Bowers goes, he's going to be a problem.
Yes, that's why you did. Like but I would rather him not be in the division.
Fair, absolutely.
if I'm a Texas fan, I'd rather him roll his ass. Like I would be more concerned that if one of those receivers dropped to them, like if there was a run and Neighbors or somebody like that, dropped, like just for what would be easier and would help Richardson more, that type of tight end. That's the one to watch, because I think that's very realistic to happen. That the quarterbacks, oh God, we got to get these receivers, these tackles, and bam, that's just sitting there for a team like the Colts to go get him. All right, coming up, Tyler's turd list.
And oh hell,
I got a feeling somebody from In the Loop might have a whirl at this thing after they were talking about my man's tattoo. So that is coming up next. Tyler's turd list.
In-house hate.
Oh boy.
In-house hate on the tat, man.
They were on his ass. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Good news. Abreu was able to get out of that jam. And it still remains 3-1 in the eighth inning, but the Astros almost didn't make it out of the commercial break before they went down in the eighth inning themselves as Dubon and – okay, they're out of it now. Dubon and Altuve go down quickly, and now Bregman strikes out to end the top of the eighth. So they still trail 3-1 right now in Chicago, trying to avoid the sweep here. As they've got one more at bat to try to avoid that. All right, before we get to Tyler's turd list, and that ought to be entertaining. That's coming up here in just a bit. We do it every Thursday. Is it me when I watch this thing? Because I think there's a lot of potential issues with what's happening with this baseball team. I just look at this and I watch this, and I feel bad. Even when I said it, because I was thinking this when I was watching them in the dugout. But it does. I get the feel like one of the issues, Clint, is I just don't think they deep down inside, and it's not just Joe Espada, just a lot of the decision makers that help run things. I don't get the feeling that deep down that these guys believe that they're putting them in the best chance to win. I think there is. A thought of that, an issue of that of, man, does he know what he's doing? Do they know what they're doing? Are they like, do they really? Like, there is a feel to me, and especially when you have a group of guys who know exactly and have been there on what it means. They've been to 7 straight ALCSs and been to 4 World Series and won 2. I just get to feel deep down they don't believe that they have answers.
Well, that's what scares me about this bunch is that if they're not there, they're headed that direction, right? I mean, at some point in time, I think that becomes a problem. And I don't know how much of it is the 7-18 or on their way to 7-19. I don't know exactly how much of that it is, but you know, I think through these times you find out truly who Joe Espada is. You find out who your leaders really are. And there's nothing that's happened outside of Justin Verlander appearing to have stepped in late last week, I guess it was, before that first start when he came back. I mean, really, there's nothing other than that that's shown me that the leadership on this team is fit to make that run, to hold this thing together, to weather the storm of 7-18, fixing to be 7-19. Like that's the part that scares me. And if they're not there, Ron, to your point, they're well on their way.
Well, Clint and Tyler, we've watched the Rockets and Texans struggle like hell, and there's a difference in struggle, and then there's a difference in, and you know this better than any of us, Clint. There's a difference in struggle in we're struggling and we ain't got the answers.
We're all out of answers.
we don't believe that the people who are supposed to have the answers have the answers. Like that last year of Bill O'Brien, those four games, you could tell they had no belief. Yep. Not just Bill, David Culley, Lovey, they had no belief that they actually, the people who are supposed to have the answers, had the answers. That's the feel and wonder. I wonder if that's going on with the Astros. They look over there because I know it feels bad, but every time I see Joe up there, and now today he's got on sunglasses. Every time I see Joe over there in that dugout, them glasses with his hand on his knee, I just feel like, he got the answers to get us up out of this thing.
Does Joe have the ability?
Right, like ideal. I just wonder.
Does Joe have the ability to stand up in front, calm the waters, and get these guys through this?
I just think there is at least a question.
Oh, absolutely.
With those guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think there's at least a question with that. All right, the Cubs are currently leading right now, still 3-1 here in the bottom of the eighth. We'll keep you updated. Seth Martinez is on to try to get through the eighth, and if they are able to keep this with a 2-run deficit, they will have Yordan, Kyle Tucker, and Yiner Diaz coming to the plate. So you know they can erase 2 runs very quickly, but look no further now. Old Pete Crow Armstrong is up at the plate, and he grounds out. Where was that at the last time? 5-2.
Right.
Where was that at the
sharp
last time?
Grounder to second base.
All right, let's do it. Tyler's third list.
Pro athletes are sometimes a lot to handle.
Which is not good enough.
Maybe even a bit dramatic.
Altuve stole an MVP from Judge.
Turdish behavior will not be ignored. No one is safe.
I'm not going to let it take my joy.
It's Tyler's Turds of the Week on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right. Another week. Another full slate of turds in the sports world.
Oh, let's hear it.
Yeah, this is...
Let's get to the bronze here. By the way, Seth Martinez just took out this guy right back.
God, drilled him.
That got away from him. Hopefully there's no... I would think there's no retaliation on this in a 3-1 ball game.
Shoot.
They're coming up to put the tie and run at the plate, but damn, that looked like just hit him in the back. That's a hard place to get hit right there. Anyway, go ahead.
All right, we got a strong podium of turds this week. The bronze turd medal around the sports world this week. Y'all know Caleb Williams, quarterback draft prospect.
Number one pick.
That's right, Caleb Williams. I'm going to preface this by saying it's not lost on me that this kid might be a little different. We've all seen different interviews and different interactions with him. Might be a little different than your normal number one overall pick and how he interacts and what we've seen so far. I, for one, I don't fully understand the whole nail polish thing that goes on with the younger folks here lately. But all that to say this, any and everyone out there that's been, to one degree or another, shaming this dude about the crying thing out on the field, That's Bush League and you're a turd. Mm. And you're getting the bronze turd medal this week.
Oh, man. I'm going to calm down because I got words for that a little bit later on.
Yes, please.
I like that, T.
Oh, I love it. There's some real sons of bitches out here on that one.
I'm telling you, man.
That's coming up about an hour from now.
I mean.
I've about had it.
Everybody can get a lesson right now real quick. One of the best things I've ever learned in my own life. My great-grandmother taught me this. Her name was Bunny Head. That's true. Her first name was Bunny and her last name was Head. Lovely woman. Tremendous.
Don't forget it.
Lived into her 90s. Loved that woman. She told me when I was very young, she said, Tyler, men can cry. If anything, that makes you more of a man to show your emotion in difficult situations like that. Don't ever be afraid to show your emotions. So
I hear you, Bunny.
Yeah, if you're trying to shame this kid, I mean, there's plenty you can try to poke fun at him about. But if you're going after him about these tears and the crying thing, you get the bronze medal turd this week.
All right. Said he lacks leadership with it. Mm. Go ahead.
Wow. All right, silver medal. Oh, God. First ever turd medal that's going to go to one of our coworkers here at Sports Radio 610. And boy, did he earn it.
I thought he was going to get the gold, really.
I went back and forth on it.
You don't want to give him the pleasure. Let's be honest.
Yeah. It's an honor.
He was pretty fired up about it.
Winning the gold's an honor. And John Lopez, nothing about what you did on In the Loop yesterday was honorable. You get the silver turd medal because you put on display for the entire world, the entire audience of loopholes, for everybody in Houston. You put your turdish behavior on display yesterday.
That was interesting.
What did he do? I didn't know what happened.
He was
so,
just, go ahead.
As you all know, I got this H tattoo at the Texans event the other night. Very happy with it. Looks great. My tattoo artist that has done all my work, he did it.
He was there. Dude's a pro.
Yeah, I met him.
Yeah, Sean Will. Shout out Sean Will and Red Dagger. Lopez comes into a show on In the Loop yesterday and just right in that first hour and multiple times throughout the show, decided to crawl out from under his troll bridge and just do his best job to troll my tattoo. He was saying it was crooked.
I saw pictures. I don't know. That thing was. You're telling me that's not crooked?
I will be honest. I will vouch. It was, I was disappointed in John. It was a level of hate that I just didn't see coming from John. Like, you couldn't even look at the person across who generally, like, hate is in the, is just, you know, just in the heart generally of Landry. That was not a Landry hater situation. Landry was, I mean, it was
Lopez.
Yeah,
was
I'm not
Lopez
gonna
the whole way.
I'm not gonna lie, it caught me off guard.
It did. It caught me off guard. It did for me, man.
But first of all, Lopez, you weren't even at this awesome event the Texans put on. So maybe you should have just stayed out of this one since you weren't there to witness anything. Yeah, you weren't even there, man. He hadn't even seen me in person. He's looking at these photos. Stay in your lane, Lopey. You don't know nothing about ink. You don't know anything about tattoos. And I mean, I know Lopez has been putting out there. He's been acting a lot more boomerish to me lately. Getting cranky about things he maybe normally didn't in the past. Trolling people when maybe he wouldn't have in the past. And now he's coming after me.
You seem to be a target of the...
I know, right?
Of ITL quite
yes,
a bit.
Yes, off and on. It does
What'd
feel
What'd you
that
do
way.
To those guys?
I think they're just threatened by me and my good looks.
I think we're all targets.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, yeah, silver medal goes to John Lopez of In the Loop. Stay in your lane, Boomer. My tattoo ain't crooked. Sean Will's a professional. He's one of the best in the city. Appreciate Red Dagger again for the new ink on my arm. Gold medal time!
It's your gold.
This was an easy one, fellas. With the new uniforms the Texans got this week, obviously we've had a ton of fun, you know, looking at those, dissecting them, getting excited to see them out at NRG Stadium next year. Gold medal this week. She's won the gold before. It is Amy Adams and the Tennessee Titans organization,
good Lord.
A.K.A. the pretend fake-ass Oilers in Nashville. Because the McNairs, when they were on Within the Loop on jersey release day here in Houston, Hannah, I knew what Hannah was doing. She's classy, unlike Amy Adams, so she wasn't going to completely throw her under the bus. But they all but told us we were trying to get more H-Town blue than what we got in that jersey. Wanted a little more of that in there. The Titans they just want to hold on to another city's history, man.
Again,
Blows my mind.
I would love to mediate the sit-down between old AA and Hannah McNair. I'm just saying I would love to
tear that ass up.
By the way, gold
whoa,
here.
Whoa.
Okay.
No, she would. Hannah would whoop Amy Adams' ass.
I got you.
I mean,
I don't want them to physically fight. I just want to mediate it. By the way, it looks like Joe Espada was ejected in this game.
Oh, great.
And I want to watch it because I want to see if he got his money's worth. If he was ejected,
I looked up and it was a casual walk back to the dugout.
It didn't look fiery. It wasn't like that time when Dusty got ejected in Arlington.
No,
when he lost his.
I forgot about that.
And Dusty, I believe, continued managing. All right, Clint, what you got coming up at the four?
Got to watch the draft tonight. The first round, the Texans don't have a pick, but what are we looking for as the draft goes along as Texans fans? What are we hoping happens to maybe spur D'Amico, maybe spur Nick Caserio to make a move and surprise us all again this year in the draft? We'll tell you what that is, and we'll do all that next right here on Sports Radio 610. Also, some of Adam Schefter's best work and a would this shock you moment if this happened? I got a would you be shocked if for Ron to cuss and discuss here in a second.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.